This is Thurman Hayes, pastor of First Baptist Church of Suffolk, Virginia. We want to welcome you to this message from our services at First Baptist. We're a congregation that is seeking to touch lives through the life-changing power of the gospel. I pray that you'll encounter Christ in this power and love.
Good start.
Amen. Well, good morning. That song is perfect for what we're going to be talking about later and God's word and the freedom that we've been given in Christ. Well, happy Mother's Day to you, all you moms. And you know, one day is not enough, but maybe to say how much we appreciate you. But may remembering this one day spur us on to thankfulness and gratitude every day for special ladies in our lives. And so we're gonna pray for you. In just a few minutes, but happy Mother's Day to each one of you. If you're here today as a guest, if it's your first time, we especially want to welcome you today. And so inside of your bulletin, there's a communications card that is for you. So if it's your first time, or if you know it's not your first time and you haven't had a chance to fill this out, take a few moments and just give us some basic contact information. We would love to shoot you an email or a text and just kind of begin that process of helping you to connect with us. We pray today is going to be a blessing and an encouragement in your life. We're super glad that you're here today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that we can come together right now and worship. And Lord, on this special day in our culture, Mother's Day, we remember that biblically we are commanded to honor our father and our mother. And so, Lord, we want to do that today. And for those of us whose moms have passed, may it be a day when we remember them and thank you for them. And if our moms are still with us, may it be a day of being able to reach out with special love and appreciation. And we know we're called to do that, not just on this one day, but Lord, make us thankful every day for our mothers. And so may we have the opportunity today to reach out and share that with them. And we pray for them. We pray that you would bless them with wisdom and love and courage and patience and all the different attributes that are called for when it comes to the family. Father, now as we just continue to pray and we think about events in our world this week, Lord, we do pray for Pope Leo. We know that this is a momentous thing, and not just for our brothers and sisters in Christ and the Roman Catholic Church, but this is a selection that's going to impact the world. It's going to impact our country. It's gonna have an influence on all of us. And so, we lift up this man to you. We pray that he would be a man who would walk closely with you, and stand for truth in a world that has gone crazy in so many ways. In a world where so many celebrate a child sacrifice and abortion up to the point of birth, we pray that this Pope would be unflinchingly, unapologetically pro-life and pro-traditional family. As we think about family issues today on Mother's Day, we pray that in a world that has just gone insane on issues of gender and sexuality, that this would be a man who would not cave to the winds of culture, but would have the courage to stand for the truth of what your word teaches in those areas and in every area. Lord, may this be a man who would speak the truth in love. And so we pray for him. Lord, we lift up our time to you together today. This is an opportunity to come away from maybe a really busy week for many of us, with all kinds of things swirling around possibly in our lives. Lord, we want this hour to be yours and devoted to you. And so may we not be distracted by anything outside, anything that's come before the service or happening afterward or happening this week. Lord, we need to encounter you right now to deal with any of that. And you are greater than any of that. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bind the enemy. We pray that you would help us just really to lock in on you and the truth of your word in this hour as we worship you, Lord. You alone are worthy of glory and honor and praise and worship. May your Holy Spirit be with us as we continue to do that now. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. He is the everlasting God. Let's stand and sing.
That defender of the weak. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive. Christ might be seen today.
What a great song as we prepare to dig into God's Word this morning. And if you are new today, what we're doing is we're walking through the Gospel of John. Our series is called Believe. We're just walking through John's Gospel, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. It's what we do here, expositional preaching. We just walk through books of the Bible and learn it in context. And so we're in John right now, and we're in the 8th chapter of John. And so if you would turn your copy of God's Word, if you don't have one, there are some available in the pew, but turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to pick it up at verse 21 this morning. We're talking about faith and freedom. John chapter 8, and let's pick it up there where we left off last time in verse 21. And in honor of God's Word, I'll ask you to stand again as we look at it together. John 8, and let's pick it up there in verse 21. Follow along as I read. Then he said to them again, I am going away. You will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews said again, he won't kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You are from below, he told them. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Who are you? They questioned. Exactly what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus told them. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, these things I tell the world. They did not know he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in this household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free, free indeed. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no place among you. I speak what I have seen in the presence of the Father. So then, you do what you have heard from your father. Our father is Abraham, they replied. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus told them, you would do what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You're doing what your father does. We weren't born of sexual immorality, they said. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God. The Jews responded to him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon? I do not have a demon, Jesus answered. On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it and judges. Truly, I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Then the Jews said, now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. You say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you claim to be? If I glorify myself, Jesus answered, my glory is nothing. My Father, about whom you say he is our God, he is the one who glorifies me. You do not know him, but I know him. If I were to say I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews replied, you aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, now as we come before the food of your holy word, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to behold wonderful things that you have for us in your word. Things about life, things about death, how to die, how to live. We see all of that in this text. And we pray that you would speak to us now through your word. Encounter each one of us now at the point of our deepest need. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. W.A. Criswell was pastor of First Baptist Dallas for half a century. We were talking about the Pope. Dr. Criswell was often referred to as the Baptist Pope. He not only had a great influence on his church, but really on our whole denomination. God really used him to kind of help us right the theological ship and really experience a conservative resurgence in our family of Southern Baptist churches. Dr. Criswell went home to be with the Lord on January the 10th, 2002, and his final moments were pretty extraordinary. It was the wee hours of the morning, and his caregiver, a man named Jack Pogue, had been reading scripture to him. He'd been reading John 14 and Philippians 2, and so he was. Jack was, you know, looking down at his Bible, and then suddenly he looked up, and Dr. Criswell was doing what he had been unable to do at that point for months. He was just sitting straight up in his bed. And Jack was astounded, and he ran over to give him a hug. And in the next moment, Dr. Criswell passed away. And his biographer, O.S. Hawkins, says this: "You will never convince Jack Pogue that God himself did not send his angel to usher the greatest Bible expositor of the 20th century straight into his own divine presence." Dr. Criswell died looking to Jesus and trusting in Jesus. And that's where we begin today. Dying in faith. We see that in verses 21 through 29. Let's look beginning at verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, "I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin." Wow. Four sobering words, chilling words. Die in your sin. And he repeats it again, twice in verse 24. Look at verse 24. He says, "Therefore I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So consider the following facts. First of all, death is certain. I mean, unless you're alive on the day when Christ returns, you're going to experience physical death. And even if we are alive on that day, all of us are going to stand before a holy God. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "It is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment." And, you know, we don't like to think about it, but the mortality rate among human beings is hovering at a very consistent 100%. The poet Emily Dickinson said, "Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. He will stop for all of us." Death is certain. Second, most die in their sin. Verse 21 is a description of most people. When Jesus says you will die in your sin, what does that mean? Note here that sin in verse 21 is singular. The great scholar of John, New Testament scholar D.A. Carson, says this about that: "The singular sin refers to the particular sin of unbelief, of rejecting Jesus." I mean, all of us are guilty of many sins, but the sin that condemns us to hell is the sin of rejecting the one who took hell on himself on the cross in our place, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. It's rejecting him. That's the sin that causes us to die in sin. And most die that way. They don't know Christ. Third, you can die in faith. And I say can because you're alive. Those in this room, those watching this stream or watching the video or listening to this message at any point in the future, you have an opportunity You can die in faith. You don't have to die in sin. Look at verse 24 again. Jesus says, therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus here not only talks about dying in your sin, but he talks about how to avoid dying that way. How to not die in your sin. And what is that? Believe. Believe. Believe in Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Entrusting yourself into the Savior's hands, the one who died for your sins, to the one who rose from the dead, entrust your life to Christ. Sean Ryan is a former Navy SEAL, and he hosts a podcast now that reaches millions of people, does kind of long-form interviews with people. And as a part of his podcast, he had interviewed some of his former friends in the military. And of course, you know, when you talk for 2.5 to 5 hours, you pretty much get into everything. And so a couple of the guys that he had been in the military with kind of just shared their story of coming to Christ and how Christ had changed their lives. And God started working on Sean. And he didn't realize it, but the hound of heaven was on his trail. And at the beginning of 2023, in January of 2023, Sean's wife began to read the Bible. Neither of them come from any kind of a church background, but his wife said, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. And so she starts reading the Bible, and God's beginning to work in her life. And that spring, the spring of 2023, was kind of a time of crisis in Sean's life. He had done a couple of interviews back to back, one day after the other, where they went into incredibly dark subject matter. He interviewed a guy who hacks into pedophilia websites, and just in this interview, just coming to understand just the epidemic of this darkness, the darkness of pedophilia. And then the next day, he interviewed a Marine who had lost an arm and a leg at Abbey Gate during our disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021. And, you know, Sean, who had spent, you know, 20 years serving in the military, he just found himself just kind of being enraged, you know, that our government would mismanage that, you know, so badly, and kind of just the darkness of our world. And he said, it was almost like a black tar covering my heart. That same week, he lost a close friend, passed away. And then the shooting at the Christian school in Nashville, March 27th of 2023. And Sean lives in Nashville. And so in the aftermath of that horror at that Christian school, he volunteered as kind of an expert in security matters to go into the school and assess their security issues. And so he goes into the school in the aftermath of that shooting, and there's still blood all over the walls and all over the carpet. And he hadn't seen things like this since his days in the military. And he found himself just shaken to his core by all of this. He told his wife, we got to get away. And so they went off to Sedona, Arizona. Sean was trying to clear his head. And one day they hiked up to the peak of a mountain. He's just trying to clear his head. And it didn't work. You know, and they come down the mountain, and he's feeling, you know, all these things just swirling inside of him, this darkness just kind of covering his heart. And they get to the guard gate to go back to the house where they were staying. And, you know, he had gotten to know some of the guards during the course of that week, but he didn't know this guard. He'd never seen this guy before. This guy just started talking to he and his wife. And, you know, there's a verse in 1 Samuel. I just read it this week as part of my one-year Bible reading. I came across this verse this week, but it's a verse where Saul is told that, you know, there's going to be someone who's going to tell you everything in your heart. And that's what happened. Because in about 60 seconds, this guy he had never met was telling him everything that was going on in his heart. And he's thoroughly freaked out. And he and his wife are walking back to their house. And Sean says to his wife, "I think that was God talking to me through that guy." And his wife said, "Of course it was, Sean. God's been trying to talk to you all the time, but you've been shutting him out." And so the next day, he began to read the Bible. And he posted this the very next day. He said, "Today I began reading the Bible, something I've never done. I believe this is the only truth left here on earth. Maybe the only truth there ever was. Everything else has turned to nothing but deception and lies. All of it." Well, when he posted that, there were a lot of people who began praying for that guy right then and there. And 2 years down the road, he is not only in Christ, but, you know, he's using his podcast and the platform that he has been given to spread the good news of Christ in every way that he can. But, I mean, think about this. This guy's a former SEAL. He was spending a good chunk of his life fighting for our freedom politically, and yet he was in a form of bondage himself. Jesus here is talking about a deeper freedom, and that's where we're going next, right? Living in freedom. What's that all about? So let's look at verses 30 and 31. "As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, you are really my disciples.'" Now, we've already seen in John that there were some fake disciples. They weren't real disciples. They were sham disciples because they left. They checked out. They were gone. Jesus says the mark of a true disciple, a real disciple, is that you continue in him. If you continue in my word, the Greek word there for continue, it means to remain. Remain. Continue. That's the mark of a real disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we have as real disciples, that we don't have some bends in the road in our lives sometimes. That can be said of all of us. It does mean that if we're truly in Christ, if we've truly been born again, we're not going to continue in sin. We're going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and God is going to bring us back, and he's going to enable us in the end to persevere in our faith. But if you're not walking closely with the Lord, then you're missing out on the freedom that he has for you. Look at what Jesus says in verse 32. "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, those words are engraved in the wall of one of the famous government buildings just outside of D.C. John 8:32 is engraved into the wall in the lobby of the headquarters of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA building, right, has these words engraved in the wall in the lobby. And you say, well, that's ironic, because, you know, there's a lot of deception that goes on inside of that building just because of the nature of espionage itself. But I think the meaning of putting it there is that in order for us to maintain our freedom in a political sense, we have to know what's going on in the world. We have to know the truth of what's going on. The reason 9/11 happened is because we didn't know the truth about those 19 guys getting on those planes. The reason Pearl Harbor happened is because we didn't know that there were Japanese aircraft carriers a few hundred miles off the shore of Oahu. And so it's knowing the truth about things that enables us to maintain the freedom of our country. But Jesus here is talking about a deeper kind of freedom. What kind of freedom does he mean? Look at verse 33. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? Now, you know, if they were talking here about political freedom, that comment is almost laughable, because by this point, Israel had been, you know, under enslaved by or under the power of a whole series of foreign powers. You know, Egypt, Assyria, Persia, Babylon, on and on and on. And currently in the first century, as they're speaking these words, they were under the thumb of the Romans. But that's probably not what they're talking about here. They're probably talking about their spiritual heritage. And they're saying here to Jesus, hey, who do you think we are? I mean, you know, we are God's chosen people. I mean, think about who we're not just some pagan people out here. You know, we are descendants of Abraham. How does Jesus answer? Verse 34. Jesus responded, "Truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Your heritage, you know, whether Jewish or Catholic or Baptist or whatever it is, does not negate the fact that you are a sinner and that you were born with a sin nature, with a bent in the direction of sin. And this is not something that we can clean up on the outside. Yeah, we can shore things up cosmetically in our lives here and there. This is not a cosmetic thing. This is a heart thing. And the only thing that can change it is to get a new heart. And guess what? We happen to worship a God who specializes in giving new hearts. That's what Ezekiel 36 is all about. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. And so when we turn to Jesus and trust him, we're born again. God gives us a new heart. So when we think about freedom, okay, we're forgiven and free in Christ. What does that mean practically? Okay, where are we now in regard to freedom if we're in Christ? I want to mention three things. And if you're taking notes in the back of your bulletin, these are there. First of all, in Christ, we are already free in position. Okay, so let's look at verse 35. Jesus says, a slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. If you are in Christ, you are a son or daughter of the King. And we sung earlier, you know, we were the beggars, now we're royalty. That's because if you're in Christ, you are a child of the King. We saw in chapter 1 and verse 12 of John. If we could flip to that scripture, please. But to all who did receive him, Christ, he gave them the right to be what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. Now listen, it is super, super important for us as believers to keep preaching that truth to ourselves. Because, you know, we can be like Jason Bourne and have amnesia. We get spiritual amnesia. We forget who we are. And it's important to just keep going back and reminding yourself, listen, I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. There's a dignity, there's a royalty about your life because you belong to the King. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're a child of the Father. You're a son or daughter of the King. And we have to keep reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ, that we are already free in position. Okay, secondly, in Christ, we are increasingly free in practice. In other words, as we continue to grow in the Lord, the Holy Spirit is doing a work of transformation in our lives. The Spirit is transforming us from the inside out so that we become more and more practically free. And the way that we live, we're increasingly free as we grow in Christ, grow closer to Him, as the Spirit is doing a work of sanctification in our lives. We are increasingly free in practice. Romans chapter 6 and verses 12 through 14 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, that's you in Christ, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. Now think about the meaning of these verses. What's he say here in verse 12? He says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That means that if you are in Christ and sin is reigning in your life, it's because you're letting it happen. Because you're no longer a slave. If it's reigning, it's because you're letting that happen. Look at verse 13. He says, and do not offer any parts of it, your body, to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, as those who have been brought from death to life. That's you as a Christian. You are raised to walk in newness of life. So what are you doing walking and, you know, acting like a slave? You've been brought from death to life. Verse 14, for sin will not rule over you as a believer. Again, because you're no longer a slave to sin, but a child of God. Now, sometimes sin gets the better of us. What do you do in that situation, right? You confess it, you turn from it, you get up, and you keep following Jesus. Because listen, the devil wants to beat you up and keep you down and make you think that you're in condemnation. You're not. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. But the enemy wants to beat you up and keep you down. That's when you got to go back to your identity in Christ, right? And to the finished work of Christ. Because listen, failure, and we've all had some failures, and sometimes we fail in our struggle with sin, but failure is not your destination. Failure is not your destiny. Your destiny is onward and upward. So get up and move on in forgiveness and freedom. So in Christ, we're increasingly free in practice. Third, in Christ, we have the power to be free. That's because as a believer, you have not only been delivered from the penalty of sin, but also from the power of sin. One day in glory, when we're glorified, we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. But you've already been delivered from its penalty and from its power. 1 John 4 and verse 4 says, "You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." How great is Christ? Well, think about this exchange that he has with these religious leaders at the end of this chapter. Look at verses 56 through 58. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews replied, "You aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." You know what that means? It means that the one who is with you and in you is the eternal Son of God. Hebrews 1:3 says this about Christ. "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power." And listen, the one who upholds the universe is the one who's holding on to you. Don't forget it. The one who is with you and in you, that's Christ. And in him, we are given the power to be free. If you're not walking in that freedom as a believer, you need to wake up and understand who Christ is and who you are in Christ. There's an old song by the Eagles and called "Already Gone," and it's not a Christian song, and it's not referring to Christ, but I love this lyric, and I think it applies here. "So oftentimes it happens that we live our lives in chains, and we never even know we have the key." If you're a Christian and you're living in chains, what are you doing? What are you doing? And if you're not a Christian, Jesus has opened the doorway for you to live in freedom and to die in faith and live forever. Let's pray together. As we bow before the Lord, let's do business with him from the deepest part of our hearts. Where are you today in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you born again? Do you know him as your Savior and Lord? If you were to pass today, would you die in faith or would you die in sin? You need not die in sin, because there's a Savior who died for sinners like you and me. on the cross, Jesus took our sin upon himself. He took hell on himself so that we don't have to be condemned to hell. Turn to Jesus and trust him today. Repent. That means to turn from doing life your own way and turn to Jesus and trust him. Rest in his finished work alone, in his death for your sins, in his resurrection from the dead. Invite him to come into your life and be your Savior and Lord and King. Christians, are you walking in the freedom that God has purposed for you to walk in? You are a child of the living God. You are a son or daughter of the King. Walk like that. Walk like that. Walk in his freedom. Now, Father, we thank you for that very thing, that in Christ we are forgiven and free. Lord, forgive us for the times when we forget who Christ is and we forget who we are and we start living like slaves again. Lord, help us to continually go back to the truth of who Christ is and who we are in Christ. Lord, I pray for anyone here today who needs to experience that as a believer, who needs to start walking according to who they are and who you are. Lord, may today be a day of chains being broken and living in the freedom that you have purposed. Father, I pray for anyone here or anyone who's listening or watching this message at any point in the future who does not yet know Christ. Lord, would right now, would you break chains and triumph? Lord, right now, would you open the doors of hearts, open hearts to see the beauty and love of Jesus and to turn to Christ right now. Lord, work in someone's life right now to turn to Jesus and trust him and experience the forgiveness and freedom and new life and abundant life and eternal life that is offered.
I hope you've been blessed by this message. Christ is the answer for every need, now and for all eternity. As someone once said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything, and everything minus Jesus equals nothing. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? If not, why not now? His arms are open wide to receive you. It may help to pray a prayer like this. Father, I know that you are holy and that I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. I know that you are a righteous God who must punish sin, but I believe that your Son Jesus took my punishment for me, died in my place, and rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Right now, I turn to Jesus and trust in his finished work for me. In his name I pray, amen. You know, the Bible says this in John 1:12, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that means that if you've received Christ, God has adopted you as his beloved child, his very own son or daughter. Just imagine it. Almighty God, the Lord of this universe, the one who possesses all authority in heaven and earth, is now your loving father, and you are his child. You say, I love him. How can I honor God with the rest of my life? Well, when you love someone, you want to spend time with them. We get to know God through his word, through prayer, and through his people. I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the Bible and begin to read it. Begin to pour out your heart to him in prayer. And find a church family where the Bible is preached, where Christ is exalted, and where his love is flowing. If you're local, I want to invite you to the church I pastor, First Baptist Church of Suffolk, Virginia. I'd love to meet you and help you in your Christian journey. I would love to connect you to some other people who love the Lord and who would love you too.